You are listening to Ask Miss K. My name is Nokuhle Khumalo and I'll be your host for today. Thank you so much for tuning in and I hope you enjoy.
Hey guys, welcome to my new segment, which is wild financial stories and the lessons we can take from it. So I've picked up a couple of stories from online or from things that I've heard or things I've experienced, and I've just compiled them into a little video where I will go through some of the details just to explain what happened, and then obviously we're gonna head into the lesson that we can take from it. As much as I'm saying that these stories are wild, as I go through them you'll see that maybe you do relate to one or two or maybe all of them. I'm not judging, but what I want us to remember is that our journey to financial freedom is a journey, and you will not be perfect from day one. And remember that your journey and my journey will not be the same. So what we can do is actually have these conversations and chats amongst ourselves, because I can learn from you and you can learn from me. So let's get right into the video. I'm super excited. Okay, so the first story is about a lady I met at the restaurant in my estate. So the estate I used to live in had like a little restaurant area where people would usually go and chill on Fridays and stuff. So one evening we were all there just having a good time, and this lady approached me. I was sitting alone, so she approached me and she started talking to me, and she was telling me that she's actually been evicted. So I was like, oh, okay. It was a bit of a weird way to start the conversation. So, and I was on high alert, because I was like, I don't want to hear any sob story. I don't have money. Like, whatever this lady wants, I can't help her. But I soon realized that she actually just needed to vent. So what had happened was, this lady had been evicted from her apartment in that same estate that we were drinking at, because she had apparently not paid rent for the last 6 months, and the estate was like, all right, that's it, bye. The way she found out that she had been evicted is that she came back home one day after work, tried to access her flat, and she couldn't turn the key. So she went to the estate office to say, hey, listen guys, I've got a problem. I'm trying to get into my flat, but my key doesn't seem to be working. Can someone come and help me? And they're like, all right, is this the first time it's happened? She's like, yes, this is so weird. It's the first time it's happened. Then they're like, all right, which flat number is it? She said her flat number, and then they were like, oh, hey, but we evicted. You know, we evicted you. We changed the locks in that flat this morning. So she's like, what? Why? Well, why would you do that? Wada. Then they're like, because you haven't paid rent. And then she's like, no, what do you mean? I've been paying rent. What do you mean? And then they pulled up her account, obviously, to say, listen, look, we haven't received any rental payment from you for the last 6 months. We've been following up. We've been sending you emails. We've been trying to call you. And we've got no response from you. So we had to do what we had to do. This lady was obviously confused, because she had seen nothing. She had seen no emails, received no calls, and she told the estate management, Guti, listen guys, I don't know what's going on, but I obviously share this apartment with another lady. And they're like, oh, okay, so clearly we've been trying to reach the main person on the contract. So yeah guys, this is the thing. The fact that she was sharing with someone, but on the contract only one person was listed. This is lesson number one. If you're sharing an apartment, especially if you're sharing with a stranger, make sure you're also listed on the lease agreement. Like, I know people share. I even shared in my first year, and I shared with someone I didn't know at the time, but we were both on the lease agreement, and we also were both getting all of the like notifications and messages from the estate. So make sure that you do that. Anyways, so she tells them that, listen, I guess you guys have been trying to contact the other lady because I have seen nothing. And then essentially she's like, all right, how much do we owe, just so I can try and settle it? Because she assumed that, oh man, maybe we're just late by like 1 month or like just a couple of rands. Because sometimes they'll add these random things on our rental invoice, and suddenly you're paying for wastage and sewage and whatever. So maybe it's like a 40 rand. And you know, you don't want to get locked up for a 40 rand. So they tell her, nah, bro, you have not paid for the last 6 months, so there's nothing you can do. Unless if you can pay this 6 month debt, there's nothing else you can do. So obviously she was shocked, and then she tried to prove to the estate management that, listen, I've been sending this lady money for the last 6 months, because they were obviously splitting it in half, and the estate management was obviously empathizing with her. They were sympathizing with her because they could see that she literally didn't know what was going on. But the reality is that the estate couldn't do anything, because if they haven't received the money, they don't know the agreement between the two ladies. They don't know if she actually paid the other lady or if she was paying into the right account. So this issue was between the two ladies and not the estate. Fine. So what happened was she called the lady that she was obviously sharing with, and I just want to add, this other lady had apparently not been in Johannesburg for I think the last 6 months. I think for the last 3 months. She hadn't been in Johannesburg for the last 3 months.
This was during COVID days, guys. So it was when people were still working remotely and could actually work from wherever.
She had gone back home. I think she was from Eastern Cape. So when she called, she's like, hey, you know, we've actually been evicted. Apparently, we haven't paid rent for the last 6 months. Do you know what's going on? Can you help me? They won't let me into the apartment. Like, what's going on? I thought we were paying. So she's obviously expecting that the other person is going to say, yo, that's a really weird thing. Let me send proof of payments. You know, like, let's clear it up right now. Instead, the lady on the phone is like, hey, let me explain. Obviously, at this point, this lady realizes that for real, this other lady has not been paying, and they have been rightfully evicted. So what happened was the estate eventually said, no, it's okay, we understand that you have been paying this lady. I think she had to provide like proof of her bank statement, like showing that she's sending the money to the other lady. And then what they said was, we'll allow you to go in and get your own furniture out, but the other person's furniture is not allowed to like be taken out, because essentially they could run off, you know, and not have to pay off the debt. And also, guys, I just want to add, I think my estate has a bit of a shady, my old estate, let me not say my estate, I no longer live there. I think they had a bit of a shady credit history check. I don't think they did it really well. And the reason I say this is because every 2 or 3 months, we get like these random emails which would say, the following units have not paid their rent, please pay now. And they like list them out. And for me, it was like, why do you have to go to such extremes? You know, they'd be like, these people have not paid for the last 2 months, blah blah blah. And sometimes like you'd be walking up to your flat and you'd see a red sticker hung up on someone's door saying you are owing for the last X amount of months. So I was like, no, these people don't know how to manage their debtors, because we were the debtors, obviously. It was just a bad model. And I also know that this was a fact, because we had a lot of creators who lived in our estate. So when I'm saying creators, I mean like influencers, actors, business people, entrepreneurs, basically, which is not a bad thing. I actually love that, because I am potentially an entrepreneur / influencer / you know, freelancer. So I love it when things are done to help us. But what I'm trying to show is, when other estates are so strict with their credit checks and they say, no, you have to have an employment contract, we have to see your bank statement for the last 3 months, or if you're a creator, 6 months, and all of that, I think my estate was a bit easy on this, and that's why a lot of these upcoming people were able to move in, which is great. It was also great publicity, you know, like everybody knows that, oh, they live in these type of estates, now people want to move in. But it was also just bad for their business, because now you guys look stupid, because you're sending long emails every second month saying the following units have not paid, and it's like 25 units. You guys look like Popeyes. Okay, long story short, what eventually ended up happening, because I kept in contact with this lady, obviously I was concerned for her. Long story short, she managed to move out her items from the flat that she shared, and then she obviously had to find a new flat urgently in the same estate, and she couldn't afford to live in her own one bedroom flat. I think she had talking to me to see if I could share, and I told her, nah, I live in a one bedroom, I can't share, I don't want to share, I'm deliberately not sharing right now. And then she said she could only find a man to share with, but her boyfriend was unhappy about that, because how can she share with a man? I mean, I get the concerns, but I was also like, right now it's between sharing with the man or being homeless, and I think you must do what's best for you. Like, I get the concern, but if he can't give you the additional amount for you to like afford to live in a one bedroom house, then please, like, his concerns must not be taken into account. Because like, would you rather have a happy boyfriend and be homeless, or have a place to sleep in and like you can talk to your boyfriend? Like, relax, okay? Or he must offer you a place to stay. Like, guys, I don't know. So I think the lesson here is, when you are sharing, whether you're sharing with a friend or a stranger or your partner, your romantic partner, always make sure that you get confirmation that they've actually paid over the amount. Like if you guys are transferring from one account to another, then one person pays the entire thing, make sure you get proof of payment. When I was sharing with a person who's now my friend, I remember every single morning I'd get the money from her and I'd send it, and then I'd take a screenshot to say, hey, I've sent it. Every single time, like without fail, even though we had been doing it for so long, we lived together for like a whole year, but every single time I would send her proof of payment. Even when we became friends and we became close, I was like, yes, we can be tight, but money is money and I want you to know that I have paid. So do not let emotions and feelings get in the way of things, especially when you're living with someone that you actually cannot track down. Because this lady's like, I think she lives somewhere in Eastern Cape. Where in Eastern Cape? She didn't know.
You are listening to Ask Miss K.
Story number two. This lady was asking me if I think it was a good idea if her boyfriend was going to send her money, about 10,000 rand a month for 3 months, just to make it seem like she's employed. And I think the payments was even going to come from like a business account potentially, like if the guy had a business account. Anyways, and the whole purpose of this 10k every month was just so that she could qualify for a car, because when you go and you buy a car, usually they want to see like 3 months bank statements or whatever. And then the plan was, once they've got the car, the guy was going to pay for the car going forward. Firstly, number one, I don't think it would have been that easy to fool banks or the dealership that you're employed just by having like money come in, you know, into your account. It's the same amount from the same business account. But also number two, I think this is actually fraud, or misrepresentation rather, because you're pretending to be employed but you're not. And what happens is sometimes the bank will actually ask for your employment contract. So now what is going to happen is this lady is probably going to get now a fake employment contract from her boyfriend's company just to prove that she is employed. And now what started off is just an innocent way to get a car, because, you know, I'm not stealing anything, I'm still gonna pay for the car, I just, you know, need to get the car. You're actually now participating in like fraudulent things. You're falsifying documents, you're pretending to be working and you're not. So it's a slippery slope, you know. You start off just wanting a car, then next thing you're actually like in trial in court for fraud. Okay. And my third thing was, why could the boyfriend not buy the car himself? Like, if he was willing to pay for the car, why could he just not buy it himself? And this comes to the main point or the main lesson. If someone doesn't qualify for a car, or if the bank doesn't trust someone with a financing agreement or a loan, you must also not trust that person. Don't let your emotional attachment to that person blur your lines. If this person is not deemed worthy by the bank, you also must not like try and play savior, because you will actually get caught in fire almost always. And I'll give you a personal example. When I was trying to buy my first car, and if you had watched that video where I'd done about credit scores, I had said to people, when the bank quoted my dad versus when they quoted me, my dad was going to pay a far lesser amount versus me. And that's because my dad had a credit history, a good credit history, whereas I had nothing, because I was fresh out of varsity. I had no credit. I had never actually bought anything on credit. So the bank couldn't trust me because they didn't know me. So what my dad and I had considered was that my dad just buys the car flat out. And then I pay my dad, like basically I reimburse him. So the car would have been under my dad, they would have been charging my dad, and then I refund him because basically the car's for me. And at the time I was like, yo, why wouldn't you want to pay lesser of an amount? But knowing me and knowing my dad and our relationship, I know I probably would have paid my dad back like for the first 5 or 6 months. And then eventually I would have been like, no, you're my dad, you were meant to buy me a car anyways, why am I paying you back? No. And then suddenly my dad is left with that debt and he still has to pay it off because it's in his name, and I'm out here enjoying my car, driving like nobody's business because I'm a daddy's girl. It's funny though, because my dad eventually did buy me a car. Well, he offered to buy me a car. I was like, I've already got a car. And I was like, give me something else. Give me another big gift. And yeah, shame, he did. So shout out to my dad. And I'm happy because now I've been able to build my own credit to change my car, obviously. But I still got the best of both worlds. So shout out. So the lesson here is, don't do it. If the bank doesn't trust them, neither should you.
You are listening to Ask Miss K.
Story number three, and this is a very common one, so you might know someone who's been in this, but this person bought a car. And when you buy a car, your dealership will actually not allow you to take delivery if it's not insured. So you always have to have insurance. So this person got insurance on their car. They took delivery. And then after 1 month of driving the car, they canceled their insurance. The car's with them now, you know, like the dealership can only control you just for the delivery. But once the car's with you, it's yours. Sharp. Fine. They're driving their car nicely, no insurance. Fast forward 9 months later. This person is involved in an accident. They survive, thank God. However, the car is written off. So with the car being written off and being uninsured, what happened was this person had to continue paying for their car for 5 years, even though there was nothing. Like there was no car that they were using. They couldn't even get another car because obviously their record showed that you still have a big debt that you're still paying off. So you have too much debt right now. We cannot give you another loan. So the lesson here is simple, guys. Don't think you're smart. Stop trying to find loopholes over things that have been placed to help you. Of course, I know insurance has its pros and cons. And like, I know people will say, oh, sometimes they reject your claim and all of that. Like, I know that. However, insurance is there to help you in the case that you do need it. And obviously, if you're going to be truthful in your assessment and even in your claim, you shouldn't really have an issue. And where you do feel like you haven't actually been treated well, you can always take it up. You can speak to the ombudsman. Or you know, take it to court and all of that, and eventually they will see it through and they will pay. However, when you try to outsmart the system, yes, it might work. Please make sure that you do have a buffer that you can rely on. So if maybe you weren't paying the 1,000 insurance premium, what are you doing with the 1,000 rand? Maybe you're taking it and investing it. But even if you're investing it, I don't think you would get to an amount which would allow you to pay off a whole written off car. So I'm just saying, always do a cost benefit analysis. What is the benefit of me not paying this 1,000 or 1,500 rand? This is similar to medical aid as well. I know a lot of people are of the opinion that medical aid is a scam. People are pulling out of medical aid, and I understand, but I also just want to say that yes, you might be frustrated over the small miscellaneous things, like if you're maybe trying to visit a doctor or claim medication, yes, they might give you a bit of a hassle, but medical aid really comes in handy when you have a big life-changing event. So maybe it's cancer or diabetes or you're hit by a stroke, whatever it is, medical aid will usually help you because you will not suddenly have to pay this massive medical bill. And guys, medical bills scare me. Like, you know, when you look at a medical bill, sometimes you see like so many doctors and you're like, I only saw 2 doctors, but actually there's a doctor that comes to check that you're sleeping, and there's a doctor that comes to wake you up, and then and you will pay for every single one of those doctors, even if you don't like have an actual interaction with them. The fact that they looked at your charts and they gave an opinion, you will pay for that. So it's always best if you do have something that will help you. And obviously, it sucks when you have not claimed from them or you don't have any of these life-altering diseases. But actually, congratulations, that's a really great thing. But in the event that you do have a mistake or you do have a big issue, at least they're there to help you. Remember, the whole reason insurance works as a business model is because not everyone will claim from it. Because if everyone claimed, I don't think anyone would insure us. But because so many people pay, but so few claim, that's how they make a profit. Cool. If you've made it to this part of the video, comment lesson learned, just so I know who is really watching.
You are listening to Ask Miss K.
last story for the day. So this guy actually tweeted about his girlfriend. He said, I invited her to catch a movie and drinks. She got into a car accident on her way to me. I called my insurance to tow her car. She refused to go to hospital. Instead, she went home, packed a bag, and stayed the weekend with me. On Monday, she resigned from her work and moved to Durban with me. Basically, moved provinces. All right, so the thing is, we don't know all the details. And maybe this person had been thinking of resigning or had been wanting to resign. Maybe the accident was caused by the stress from work. I don't know. But if you are making such massive life decisions, so leaving your job, relocating to a new province, and going to basically live and be financially, emotionally, and mentally dependent on this new person that you started dating, or you recently started dating, or maybe you've been dating for a couple of months, I don't know. I think that's a bit risky. It's a bit risky because you are so dependent on this person, so that even when things turn, or even when he starts doing things that you don't like, you are unable to pivot or move out or do your own thing, because basically you've dropped your entire life just to be with them, and you actually have no protection. So it's like that stay at home girlfriend thing, and you know, I'm talking about this, but it's funny because I'm always like, ooh, when am I gonna be a stay-at-home girlfriend? But actually, no, I don't wanna be a stay-at-home girlfriend. I wanna be a stay-at-home wife, but who gets paid, obviously, and like does things, has projects, has businesses, but like I don't have to. Like, I work and make money just for the fun of it. That's my goal. But anyways, the stay-at-home girlfriend concept sometimes worries me, and obviously sometimes people are like, oh no, you guys are just hating. And I don't think it's hating, because I don't wish for that. I enjoy being able to say, oh, I can up and leave whenever I want. I enjoy being able to make my own decisions. I enjoy being able to say, that's me. Like, that car, oh, that's me. Oh, this TV, oh, that's me. This phone, that's me. Obviously, it's nice to get gifts as well, definitely. But, like, gifts are things you want. You don't need them. You don't need the other person to get them for you. So, anyways, with the stay-at-home girlfriend concept, it's a bit tricky, because what happens when you break up? Like, do you now go back into employment, or do you have to find another person who's going to make you a stay-at-home girlfriend? What if they don't give you the same level of allowance that you got from your previous one? Now do you have to pick up a side hustle? There are just so many uncertainties. And it's not like when you're a stay-at-home wife, because you're married, there's a contract in place, the court will actually be able to say, no, your husband must give you such and such amount until you're back on your feet. You know, this is why sometimes marriage is advisable when you want to set up these form of structures, because the law can protect you. Whereas if you guys are just dating, obviously maybe nowadays you can sort of prove that no, you guys are maybe married under customary laws, you know, and customary laws are shibile these days, you know. They're just like, oh, do you live together for over 6 months? Do you guys share bills? Like, are you on their medical aid? Do they pay for this? Oh, you guys are customarily married. So maybe that might save the stay-at-home girlfriend. But just be careful, guys. Just be, you know, up to speed with what you can and can't do, and what the law can and can't help you with. But yeah, the lesson there is always think your decision through. Make sure that you're going into something actively, like you've weighed out your pros and cons. And guys, remember, it's okay to take a break. Like, it's okay to take leave from work, or take a sabbatical, just to, you know, think things through. But like, don't just toss everything into the bin over a guy who hasn't even proved themselves to you, because they will continue to embarrass you, and they will actually end up thinking that you're only there for their money, or that you're using muti. And I'm saying all of these things because this is what this person on Twitter keeps on saying about his girlfriend, and a lot of people are so angry. A lot of people are like, when is she gonna get out of that relationship? And it's just because of the way he talks about her. It's so demeaning, and he's so condescending. And maybe I don't understand their relationship dynamics, and maybe he's just joking and she understands the jokes, but as outsiders, we do get concerned, because it's like, do you need help? Blink twice and we can help you. Because yeah, like, anyways,
you are listening to Ask Miss K.
right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. If you have experienced any wild financial story or you've heard of one, please let me know. You can either drop me a comment down below, but just know everyone will see it. But if you do want to maintain confidentiality, maybe send me an email at heynokuhle@gmail.com, or you can send me a DM on my Instagram. I'll put a link down below where you can submit this. And if you're going to send me an Instagram, maybe just send me a voice note so that I can actually just play the voice note. I think that will make things a lot more spicy when we can actually hear you narrating the story. Thank you so much, guys. I really hope that you guys have enjoyed these stories. I will be back with more. Good luck and make better financial decisions. Bye.
If you enjoyed this video, please tip me with a like, comment, and subscription.